وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد. Continuing with Surah Ma'arij, verse number 40. فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِرَبِّ الْمَشَارِقِ وَالْمَغَارِبِ إِنَّا لَقَادِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَن نُبَدِّلَ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمَسْبُوقِينَ. Verses number 40 and 41. I swear by the Lord of the Easts and the Lord of the Wests that we are able to replace them by others better than them, and we are not to be overcome or outmaneuvered. If you remember the verses prior to these set of verses, talked about people having the ambition of entering paradise without having shown their good soul in this world. And the good actions were listed there, that الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ, up to the very end, which came to الَّذِينَ هُمْ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. All those good qualities, looking after the poor, giving charity, keeping the pledge, fearing God and the recompense of the Day of Judgment, all those things. And then it says that what is with these people who are somehow buzzing around you without having these actions, thinking that just by coming close to you and going being around you, they can enter the paradise. أَيَطْمَعُ كُلُّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ أَن يُدْخَلَ جَنَّةَ نَعِيمٍ. Is every one of them, does every one of them have the ambition to enter, to be entered into the garden of bliss? And then he says, كَلَّا إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُمْ مِمَّا يَعْلَمُونَ. By no means, we have created them from what they know, from a drop of water, from dust. And how could a dust developed into a human being enter paradise, a neighborhood of God? And of course, we don't mean physical neighborhood, it is a spiritual neighborhood of God, without having acted in this world. Now, this now is a confirmation of what was said before, that no one can enter paradise without having these qualities. No one can come to this world without being formed in the womb of their mothers, and no one can enter paradise without having all these good qualities. So, verse number 40 says, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِرَبِّ الْمَشَارِقِ وَالْمَغَارِبِ. So I swear, we mentioned this before, when it says لَا أُقْسِمُ, is confirmation, means this is not the case. I swear that this is not the case, and the case is what I say. So, I swear by the Lord of the Easts and the Lord of the Wests, رَبُّ الْمَشَارِقِ وَالْمَغَارِبِ. Now, what is the meaning of مَشَارِق and مَغَارِب, Easts and the Wests? In the Quran, we have different expressions similar to this, which calls Rabbul Mashriq wal Maghrib, Rabbul Mashriqain wal Maghribain, and Rabbul Mashariq wal Maghrib. In Surah Baqarah, he says, Walillahi al Mashriq wal Maghrib. So it's Rabbul Mashriq wal Maghrib, Lillahi al Mashriq wal Maghrib. Mashriq East and Maghrib West belong to God. It means that God is Lord everywhere. And it's not the case that some people, a group of people in the East, for example, in China, have one Lord, and people in the West, in Spain, for example, they have another Lord. He is Rabbul Mashriq wal Maghrib. Lillahi al-Mashriq wal Maghrib. Now, Rabbul Mashriqayn wa Rabbul Maghribayn, which is mentioned in Surah Ar-Rahman. رب المشرقين ورب المغربين, the Lord of the two Easts and the two Wests. Now, the commentators of the Quran have struggled to mention a meaning for these two Easts and the two Wests. Like, for example, the place where the sun rises in the winter and in the summer are very distinct from each other, so it's Mashraqay, and where it sets are very different, so it's Maghribayn. But what I understand from this Rabbul Mashraqayn wa Rabbul Maghribayn means the Mashraq, the rise, the place of the rising of the sun, and the place of the rising of the moon. And for Maghribayn, the place of setting of the sun and setting of the moon. Now, here about Rabbul Mashariq wal Maghrib, which is in plural, the Rabbul Mashriqayn wal Maghribayn is in dual. This is in plural. Now, different meanings could be understood from this. One is Rabbul Mashariq wal Maghrib may be a reference to the sun and the moon and all the planets, because every planet has a Mashriq and a Maghrib, has a rising place and a setting place. It means that the Lord of the whole universe, Rabbul Mashariq wal Maghrib. If we want to restrict this to the sun only, not to the moon and planets, if we refer to the moon and planets, it's very clear. Rabbul Mashariq wal Maghrib means every planet which rises and suns, they are under the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They move because of the will of God, and therefore He has control and power over everything in this universe. If we restrict it to sun only, we know that every 365 days in the year, every day, the place when sun rises is different from the place it rose the previous day. And every day when it sets in a different place than when it set in the previous day. And it's different from the coming day. So we have 365 different places for sunrise and 365 different places for sunset. So it's Rabbul Mashariq wal Maghrib. This is to restrict this to the sun. Why this is mentioned, Rabbul Mashariq wal Maghrib? It means that every place in this world, every people you may think, in every corner of this world on whom the sun shines, and from their place sun rises and sun sets, they are under the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other meaning may be not referring to sun, so to speak, but referring to different places of the world, because every place is in the east of the western part and is in the west of the eastern part. So Every place in this world is our Masharib and Ma'arib. But the two previous meanings are better, whether we restrict it to sun, meaning that everywhere in this world, all people are under his control. It's not actually trying to tell us about sunrise and sunset and those places, trying to talk about different people, different colors of people, different races of people. Everyone is under his control. So, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِرَبِّ الْمَشَارِقِ وَالْمَغَارِبِ. I swear by the Lord who has the control over all the east parts of the world and western, eastern parts of the world and western parts of the world. Every people are under his control, that he has the power to do certain things which are mentioned later. So, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِرَبِّ الْمَشَارِقِ Well, Maghrib, I swear by the Lord of the East and the West that we are able. Inna laqadirun. Again, this inna is either the majestic pronoun, that's Allah refers to himself as we, or it may be me, I, who have created all these angels working for me. We are, of course, able to do things that you cannot imagine. Inna laqadiruna ala an nubaddila khayran minhum wa ma nahnu bimasbuqin. we are able to replace them by others better than them. And we are not to be outmaneuvered or overcome. Now, أَلَا أَن نُبَدِّلَ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ may mean different things. In Surah Al-Waqi'ah, we have نَحْنُ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ فَلَوْلَا تُصَدِّقُونَ أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تُمْنُونَ أَأَنْتُمْ تَخْلُقُونَهُ أَمْ نَحْنُ الْخَالِقُونَ نَحْنُ قَدَّرْنَا بَيْنَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمَسْبُوقِينَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ نُبَدِّلَ أَمْثَالَكُمْ وَنُنْشِئَكُمْ فِي مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. You know this death that you are very afraid of. We say, why Allah has created death? Why we die? We are so much, of course, attached to this world. We love this world, we love life, life is good, and all these things. And Allah says that we have created death. And this may bring to our mind, oh, Allah, are you our enemy? Are you our enemy that you have created death? Now, نَحْنُ قَدَّرْنَا بَيْنَكُمُ الْمَوْتُ we have measured, we have decreed that you have to die. And we are able that after your death, Allah أَن نُبَدَّلَ أَمْثَالَكُمْ change your features. Change your features. And that's why we die. We die because our features have to be changed to something different. أَلَا أَن نُبَدَّلَ أَمْثَالَكُمْ أَمْثَال here is the plural of مَثَال means features. Change your features. وَنُنْشَأَكُمْ فِي مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ and recreate you in something that you do not know. It means, first of all, it means that it is impossible for us to imagine what is the nature of life after death, especially after resurrection. Now, after death, we may say that, okay, our souls are preserved somewhere, and that's a type of life for itself, but especially after the resurrection, it is impossible for us to imagine what type of life is that going to be. Nunshi'akum, we initiate your creation again, فِيمَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ in something that you have no knowledge of. So don't think that when we come back to life, we come back in the same way. No, of course, it's absolutely different type of life, different type of place, different dimension, and all these things. Now, here when it says, أَلَا أَن نُبَدِّلَ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ it may mean that, yes, we are able to change your creation to something better than this. This creation is, of course, mixed with all sorts of weaknesses, misery, worry, and all these things, and ambitions which are not fulfilled, desires which are not reached. But there may come another life that you may not experience any of these things. You will be a better creation. Sometimes people say, couldn't God create this world in a better way? That we don't have worries, we don't have difficulties, we don't have problems. You know, every pleasure in this world, every blessing in this world is always mixed and marred by difficulties, worries. You have children, that's a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very good, you love them, but you are always worried about them, isn't it? Something may happen to them. Something comes, and in many cases, things happen, of course. So, couldn't God create a better world in which we do not suffer hunger, we do not suffer hardship, we do not suffer from what we are suffering now? Yes, of course, He could. But there's a purpose for all these, that we have to undergo through this. And it's a short time, it's a very short while. The people who are attached to this world would think that this is a long period and this is the whole blessing of God which is given to them. So why God is somehow tarnishing it and making it difficult by all these worries and troubles? But if we think about this, it's very, very short. Think about people who lived 1,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago. Sometimes I think about these people, great scholars, soldiers, kings, who lived long, long, long before us. Okay, they have come and gone. We are going to go very very quickly, very soon. And then this short while which we are here, in which we are here, our soul is somehow examined, trained by all these difficulties. Our patience is measured. Not measured in the sense that Allah didn't know what he wants to measure. No, it unfolds itself. Our patience unfolds itself. Our altruism or selfishness unfolds itself. And that is how we live in the next world. So the next world is a world with perfect qualities, of course, especially for those who go to paradise. No, you would not see any shortcoming there. We are able to change you to better creatures, of course. Ala an nubaddila khayran minhum. This is one meaning of it. Ala an nubaddila khayran minhum. And this would be in line with what was mentioned in Surah Al-Waqi'ah. Ala an nubaddila amthalakum. We change your features. Wa nunsha'akum fi ma la ta'lamun. We create you in a new creation about which you have no knowledge. And we have no knowledge. Whatever is mentioned in the Quran about it is just to bring it close to our mind. It's in the language of this world. It's not a reality of that world. The other meaning, Ala an nubaddila khayran minhum, is that, well, you are evil people. And I am giving you respite, I'm giving you blessing, I'm feeding you, I'm giving you water, I'm giving you subsistence and everything, but it's not because I need you. It's not because you have any honor or dignity on me. I'm very easily able to take you away and bring other people who are better than you. And this is what Allah has done during the history, that many people who were really evil, Allah took them and brought other people. وَيَجْعَلُكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ الْأَرْضِ. Allah make you successors after other people. So the other meaning is عَلَىٰ أَن نُبَدِّلَ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ. We can change them to a better group of people. وَمَا نَحْنُ بَمَسْبُقُونَ. We are not overcome, or we are not unable to do these things. If we are calling them, it's not out of our need. Sometimes when I think about it, my mind really reels. Allah who is absolutely needless of us. He doesn't have any need. He didn't create us for any need of him. And now that he is providing for us, he's keeping us alive, he doesn't need us. If we go to paradise or we go to hell, it's equal for him, because he's not affected by his creation. However, he calls and calls, sends messengers, insists. Sometimes you think that it is requesting, come back to me, worship me, come. And while he is absolutely needless. And this shows the extent of his mercy and the extent of people's obstinance and ignorance, actually. So we are not defeated if we want to do that. We are not defeated. Another meaning of Allah, nubaddila khayran minhum. Nubaddila hum bikhayran minhum. That's what it means. The other meaning of nubaddila khayran minhum, which matches more about فَمَالِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا قِبَلَكَ مُهْتَئِينَ. Why these kuffar are coming around you, thinking that just by some attributing themselves to you, attaching themselves to you, they are going to go to paradise. I mentioned last session, just by claiming that I'm a Muslim, by claiming that I'm a follower of the Quran, nothing would change. We have to really have those qualities which are mentioned. It's not name, it's not, as I said, just a confession of tongue. It needs a reality of behavior. So the address was to those people who were somehow wuzzling around the Prophet, peace be upon him, without having real faith, just pretending that they were faithful. And he said, why are they just coming around you, going and coming, thinking that this communication would help them? Now, Ala an nubaddila khayran minhum means that we are able to give their places in paradise, which we have reserved for every human being, because all of us are created for paradise, to give it to people better than them. People who have their own share and we give their share to them. This is another meaning of it. وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمَسْبُوقِينَ عَلَىٰ أَن نُبَدِّلَ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمَسْبُوقِينَ. And then when this needlessness is mentioned, this needlessness of Allah, I call you, but I don't need you. I am coming after you. I'm sending ambassador after ambassador, but I don't need you. You come, you do not come. It's equal for me. We cannot imagine how this works. We really cannot imagine how this works between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَذَرْهُمْ, so leave them. This is absolute disappointment from these people. Because Allah has sent messengers after messengers. And when he says just leave them, it means that there's no hope anymore for these people. فَذَرْهُمْ يَخُوذُوا وَيَلْعَبُوا حَتَّى يُلَاقُوا يَوْمَهُمُ الَّذِي يُعَدُونَ. So leave them to indulge in idle talk. خَوْذ is just to indulge in gossiping, idle talk, wasting one's time. وَيَلْعَبُوا, and play. Until they encounter their day. حَتَّى يُلَاقُوا يَوْمَهُمْ الَّذِي يُعَدُونَ, which they are promised. Now, we are promised a day, of course. A day when we go and meet our Lord. You know, we started from that drop of water. We have come along in a long journey. We are here now. But it, as soon as we started that journey, the destination was to meet our Lord. Whatever it may mean. This is what is mentioned in the Quran. We are being prepared for going to that very, very high station of meeting the Lord. And that day is promised to us. That you are, يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانِ إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِ. You are endeavoring towards your Lord. And you are going to meet him. Now we don't have the capacity, of course. We are in this world. This world, the whole universe doesn't have the capacity of that encounter with the Lord. But we are moving towards it and we will meet him. Meeting him doesn't mean that we will prosper. No, it depends how we meet him. What do we take with us in that, in this journey? What we take with us? It may be very a very happy occasion meeting the Lord. It may be a very sad occasion meeting the Lord. But eventually every human being, every single human being, will meet the Lord. This is the destination Allah has set for us. Now, that is the day we are promised. يَوْمَهُمْ الْيَوْمُهُمْ الَّذِي يُعَدُونَ. A day that they are promised. And on when we meet our Lord, then the judgment is done. Judgment is made. فَمُلَاقِيهِ فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. Then if the book of your actions come to you in a good way, then of course there will be very easy accounting and people will go to paradise. And if it is otherwise, people would go to hell after that promise that we are going to meet our Lord. Now, these people, ذَرْهُمْ, leave them, because they don't listen to you. When they don't listen, what can you do? Should I just punish them now? Should I seize them now? No, of course I don't seize them, because there is one day that I have set as appointed day. So whatever they want to do, let them do. Whatever gossip they make, idle talk they make, let them do. I'm not going to seize them now, because there is a promise. وَإِنَّمَا يَعْجَلُ, we have in dua, يَعْجَلُ مَنْ يَخَافُ الْفَوْتِ. Someone who is fearful of missing something would hurry, isn't it? Allah has no hurry, because nothing is going to be missed by him. So he has no hurry, no worry. Let them do whatever they want until they come to that day. Every breath that we inhale and exhale, we are actually moving one step closer to that day. No matter we want it, we do not want it. We are going there. And therefore, there is no hurry for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is no worry. فَذَرْهُمْ يَخُوذُوا وَيَلْعَبُوا. يَخُوذُوا is what we are doing in this world, about talking all the time, instead of talking about the guidance which leads us towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we create philosophies, different cultures, different literature away from this attachment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is khawth. This is called by Allah idle talk. Of course, they are very important, very good. If they are, they have a sort of direction towards Allah. If they don't have, it's just khawth. It's just idle talk. Yal'abu is what we are doing every day in this world. Coming, working for money, taking money, eating the money, getting more energy to work for money, to eat that money, to work for money, to eat that money, isn't it? It's just a sort of vicious circle. You are doing it. So this is a play. Or we think about having billions and billions, just building things which are without that direction towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not to benefit anyone. This is also play. And the whole world without connection to God is just a play, because there is no destination for it. Play is something that there is no reality behind it. When children play, for example, one of them takes the role of a mother, the other takes the role of the auntie, the other one takes the role of a king, the other one takes the role of father, but there's no reality behind it at all. It's just a play. Whatever we do in this world is just a play, because there's no reality behind it unless it is directed towards our destination, which is the day which we are going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We think that there are very important things in this world that we are doing. We are producing science, we are producing philosophy and all these things. But if we think deeper about it without that attachment to God, it's all play. It's just like the play of children. So let them play. Let them indulge in idle talks until they meet that day. Now, what is that day? What is that? يَوْمَ يَخْرُجُونَ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ سِرَاعًا كَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَى نُصُبٍ يُفَزُونَ. The day when they emerge from the graves. Now, emerging from the graves indicates that this universe is not going to be destroyed. The earth may change to another change, and it will change to another earth, but the earth is not going to disappear. It's not going to disintegrate. It will change to another earth. It will be elongated. It will be very large, and the planets would fall, but the universe would not disappear. We have still we have the physical life. They emerge from their graves, and of course, the bodies which have disintegrated and have been destroyed and rotten, and there's nothing there of body anymore, how are they going to emerge from the graves? Now, this is what is explained by the Prophet, peace be on him, and by Aimah alayhi salam, that even one cell of you, there is a cell in every human being which never destroys. We don't know which cell it is. There is a cell in human beings which never destroys. And that one cell would develop. It's just like a clone. It clones into a new body. And that's how they emerge from their graves. A new body would be created. Would the elements of that body be like the elements of this body? We don't know. Probably not. Because everything in that world is different from things in this world. يَوْمَ يَخْرُجُونَ مِلَىٰ أَجْدَاثٍ. They come out of the graves quickly, rushing, hasting. كَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ نُصُبٍ يُفِذُونَ. As if they are racing towards a target, towards a signpost. Now, this is mentioned in many different verses of the Quran. Nusub is the plural of what is installed somewhere, or what is firmly placed somewhere, like a signpost or something, and people would run towards it. Some say that nusub refer to idols, because innama al-ansab wal-azlam, ansab mentioned in the Quran, is another plural for this al-mansubu lil-ibadah, something which is raised for ibadah. However, what we understand from this is that when we raise from our graves, after a while, we are called towards different flags or different signposts. Someone calls us, drags us. Every person would go towards the kind and type which is suitable to what they have created for themselves in this world. In Surah Qamar, يَوْمَ يَدْءُ الدَّاءِ إِلَى شَيْءٍ نُكُرٍ. Now, فَتَوَلَّ عَنْهُمْ. Now, turn away from them. They are not going to listen to you. So leave them, whatever they want to do, until يَوْمَ يَدْءُ الدَّاءِ إِلَى شَيْءٍ نُكُرٍ. When the caller would call towards something terrible, خُشَّعًا أَبْصَارُهُمْ, their eyes are fearful seeing what they are being dragged towards. خُشَّعًا أَبْصَارُهُمْ يَخْرُجُونَ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ, they come out of the graves. كَأَنَّهُمْ جَرَادٌ مُنْتَشِرٌ, like scattered moths all over the place. مُهْتَئِينَ إِلَى الدَّاءِ, they are rushed, they don't want to go themselves, they are rushed towards that caller. Now what we understand from that, as soon as we come out of our graves, so to speak, as soon as we are raised from our graves, then we are classified. We are somehow separated from each other. That's why it's Yawmul Fasl. People are separated. We are separated. And it's not just kafir and mu'min. No. There are many different flags, many different signposts, nusub, that people are dragged towards them. يَوْمَ نَدْءُ كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ, we call every people according to their imam, to their lead. What lead they took in this world. It may be a leader, and maybe something which led them in this world. Ideas maybe, or whatever. We call them. And they are classified, go to different directions, and then from there, they start the journey. So there's a caller angel, Da'i. يَوْمَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الدَّاءِ لَا إِوَاجَ لَهُ. There is a day when they follow the caller. There is no mistake. There is no mistake with that Da'i. It's impossible that that Da'i would mistake you with someone else, or by mistake take you to a different flag, different signpost. You will go towards where your actions have, it's just a, as I say, it's just a systematic, it's a natural development of things. It's a natural flow of human being towards their destination. As soon as we come out of our grave, those nusub are there. Of course, not like what signposts we see in this world is something which is suitable for that world. And the angels would pick people, would pick them, call them, and drag them towards those places, and people are classified according to their deeds, according to their beliefs, according to how they lived in this world. So here it says, يَوْمَ يَخْرُجُونَ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ سِرَاءً. As soon as they come out, it's as if they are hasting towards something. They don't know themselves. Why are they rushing? What's the rush for? يَوْمَ يَخْرُجُونَ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ سِرَاءً كَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ نُصُبٍ يُوفِذُونَ. As if they are rushing towards certain signposts or certain targets. خُشَّعًا خَاشِعَةً أَبْصَارُهُمْ تَرْحَقُهُمْ ذِلَّةً. With a humble look in their eyes. Now, everyone there are humble. The arrogant are humble that day. What they see is so terrible that the eyes are naturally, spontaneously, they are humbled. خَاشِعَةً أَبْصَارُهُمْ تَرْحَقُهُمْ ذِلَّةً. Overcast by humility and abasement. This is for the kuffar. For the believers, they are covered by honor, by dignity. So don't, you shouldn't think that these verses are about us. Inshallah, we are not going to be like that. The believers are dignified, honored, they are taken with honor and dignity. There is no fear. Allah inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. The friends of Allah have never fear, never would have sadness. You never can see humiliation in their eyes or in their souls, in their faces. For these people who are arrogant in this world, of course, tarhaquhum dhillah. Humiliation would overshadow, overcast them. That is the day they had been promised. ذَلَكَ الْيَوْمُ الَّذِي كَانُوا يُعَدُونَ. This is the day that they are promised. Now, you should not think that this is the end of the, of course, this chapter of Ma'arij, and inshallah next week we start Surah Nuh, alayhi salam. You should not think that when Allah mentions these things, He has this idea of revenging from the disbelievers, that because you did not believe in me or in the previous world, I'm going to punish you like that, or I'm going to put you through this ordeal because you did not bow to me. No. Human nature would flourish and grow with humbleness towards Allah, with all those qualities which are mentioned in the Quran. And it would be abased and humiliated with evil features and evil qualities. And therefore, Allah is warning, this is going to happen to you. If you come in the state that you are now, that you do not listen to anything, you do not want to obey the Prophet in whatever he guides you towards, then of course this is what is going to happen to you. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلِهِ الطَّاهِرِينَ. لطيف خبير سميع بصير جلي راقب مجيب غفور شكور ودود صلوا عليه يا مؤمنين صلوا.